Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I don't think I'm muting myself there, so apologies if you heard me coughing. Welcome back to a brand new TAT pod. I am your host, Ben, and I'm joined once again by Mo. How are we, Mo, if you just want to unmute? How are you, mate? You good? I don't know if Mo's unmuted. Shakes, how are you, mate?
I'm well, thank you. Like I said earlier, pleasantly surprised about the result yesterday. But yeah, happy that we're kind of making strides forward.
Yeah, no, all good, mate. Amazing result yesterday. We'll get into it in a minute. Mo, you've come off mute now. I don't know what was going on there. It wouldn't let me unmute you, mate. But how are you, bro?
Yeah, I've been good. I was like I said, like Shakespeare, I was satisfied with the result yesterday as well. Kind of saw it coming since when I said last week, I said the a few days ago about how if we get that early goal and we're able to control the game, the game would go more smooth for us, and it did, thankfully.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. You've been spotted about a couple of things recently. We're going to get into them a bit later on. Let's get into some of the comments that are coming in. Dow saying, how are you, boys? How are you, mate? Big up to you and Eunice, always in the streams, my guy. I watched some of the parts of Newcastle pods, and they were proper salty. Listen, let them be, mate. Let them be.
We love to see it.
Beat them twice now, you know what I mean? Like, you just got to accept it sometimes. But that's as happy as I am. The real test is Tuesday. See if we're really back up the Reds, though. We'll get on to Tuesday. We'll close the podcast on Real Madrid, of course. We've got a lot of things to discuss today. The game, performances, Mo's top four charge, which he said we were going to be on a couple podcasts ago. And I think a few people laughed at him. But listen, it looks like it's opening up. But we'll get on to that a bit later on. Let's talk about the game. First of all, the team news. I mean, I think we all said we'd go unchanged pretty much, apart from Virgil coming in. And that's what Klopp did. So I don't know if he's watching us. I don't know if he's listening to our expert opinions. But that's what he seemed to do. And it did its job, didn't it?
Yeah, very much. Yeah. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, yeah, he did. I mean, he stuck with Nunes and it paid off. So clearly, that's why Klopp is the manager. But yeah, I'm just happy we got the early goal, because you could see the first 15-10 minutes that Newcastle really wanted it. The way they started off the game, and like we all spoke about a few pods ago about how dangerous it is to concede turnovers to this Newcastle team, simply because of how many good transition players they've got in say Maximam and Trippier with pieces, and Isaac, he looked a bit dangerous, and Alisson had to bail us out. But the way we started the game and the way we played reminded me of how we used to play. And just okay, cool. We would weather these storms, we'd weather the opponent coming onto us. But because we have killers in the team, because we have the players who can switch on and we can kill and control the game instantly. And that's exactly what Newcastle did. On Monday we had the typical counter-attack transition Liverpool. And yesterday we had a normal recent Liverpool, a Liverpool that we're used to seeing in terms of how we weathered the storm and killed the game off. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And Shiggs, Mo just alluded to it there. Wasn't an easy start, was it, mate? A certain Alisson Becker had to bail us out twice in the first 5 minutes. And if one of those chances goes in, mate, it's a different story, isn't it?
For me, and this is no shade on the team, but he has to get player of the season for this season for me. Like, without him, even though we're not where we want to be, without him it could be a lot worse. Not just for yesterday's game, just in the season in general. The amount of times that guy has bailed us out, I know that's his job, but still, to be called on that many times and to be proven to be such a wall, invaluable to our team, invaluable. But as Mo was saying, in terms of the first 15 minutes, I expected them to come out to us. And I was just hoping that everybody was switched on and played and kept their composure, and which they did, I've got to say. And one thing I liked that I saw was, and you lot can correct me if I'm wrong, but I felt like maybe last season there was a bit of arrogance beginning to creep into our defending. Normally, like if there was an opportunity to, rather than get the ball out, they'll try and play a cute pass or try to be smart with it. Yesterday was none of that. The Van Dijk, there was a ball over the top that Mr. Maximan was trying to run onto, and instead of Van Dijk just passing it back, he just nodded it out. And I was like, yes, that's like, I get it. Like, we're not in a, yeah, just get back to the what we know to do, defend. And even though they did have a few chances, they were few and far between after the 15-minute mark, because I felt like after that, we just kind of controlled the game. Not controlled it, but were more like how we've been in the past, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Definitely, mate. Dal says, Ben, how are we carved after the multiple flights of stairs? Listen, that stadium is no joke. To get to the top. Oh my word. Like, I feel like I got Shaqiri carbs right now. Like, that's how I feel. But honestly, yeah, no, it was very strange place for an away end, to be fair. And to be honest, I didn't really think the stadium's as good as people make out, but there we go. That's just my opinion. But yeah, no, it was a good, great. Obviously, I've been to a few away days now this season. I've been to a couple where, well, the Brighton one was obviously the worst one. And yesterday was the best one. So I've had a bit of a mix. But yeah, my personal experience, obviously, everything that happened that you guys saw was the other end, unfortunately, in the second half.
Yeah, that's
we
what I was
didn't
thinking.
Get to see anything. Yeah. So yeah. Basically, all I seen for the first goal was Trent's ball over the top, and I had no idea if Nunes was onside, offside, if it had hit his hand or not. Obviously, I've watched it back, and there's absolutely no chance it's hit his hand. Yeah. He's beautifully hit his chest, and some people say, "Oh, he's took a bad touch and he's got a bit of luck." Even if he has, like,
it doesn't matter. Scored, man.
Yeah, exactly. And the finish is just. I've seen some comparisons with him and a certain Spanish striker with that finish, and I'm not going to get into those comparisons because there's a long way for him to go. But we did speak about Nunes in the preview, and Mel, I'm going to come to you, mate, because someone's coming for you straight off the bat. Jamie, I think this is my mate Jamie. If it is, big up you, mate. Mo, thoughts on Nunes starting? You wanted to change him for Jota in the preview. People still sleep on Nunes. He's so good. Always has been. Patience is a virtue. What do you say to your critics, mate?
Yeah, just quickly. Before you go, Mo, as soon as Nunes scored, I was thinking, now I wonder what Mo was thinking.
For me, in the moment when he scored, of course, I was absolutely delighted, of course, because the Newcastle. So in the moment, it's sheer euphoria. But I kind of realized, like, I'm gonna get some criticism for this afterwards. But
that's your opinion, bro. That's you're allowed to have your opinion. You're allowed to have your opinion.
Of course. But fair enough. It was a very well taken goal. It was the kind of goal that I think we touched on about Nunes before, in terms of those decisions in split seconds. The instinctive kind of finishes where it just comes to me, it just does it straight away. Those are the kind of finishes that, in my opinion, Nunes is so good at. In terms of, we saw it against Wolves in the FA Cup at home, where he just latched onto it. The kind of goes where he has no time to think; he just does what comes naturally to him. And exactly, I remember those. I think it was against West Ham also, where he nearly volleyed it off, and he went to the straight and also something like that. Those kind of half chances where he's just so good at. Those are the kind of moments and situations that I feel like Nunes is so comfortable in. It's the kind of finishes where, it's the kind of situations where he struggles in, are the ones where he has so much time on the ball. But those are things that, in my opinion, eventually will come to him. But yeah, I was glad that he scored. It was a fantastic finish. I thought he had a decent game overall. And yeah. I was satisfied yesterday, I have to say. Let me just finish. When Jota came on, he was dangerous also. I have to say,
he should have scored.
He could have got a hat trick.
He should have scored. Yeah. He had the header, he had the 1-on-1. I think he had the 1-on-1 where he tried to go around the keeper, but I think those are just because of a lack of match fitness, And quickly on Jota, I think people forget also, this guy's, he's been on and off injured since April, for a very, very long time, 20 games without a goal. And that's why it's just because he's never had a full 90 minutes in a long time. So I do feel for him a little bit. But Jota, Firmino, Salah, what a fun three. I thought Firmino was okay. He wasn't excellent, but it just looks so much more natural. I mean, that's not a credit. That's not me trying to criticize Nunes, Gakpo, Salah, but that front three of Jota, Firmino, Salah looked so good yesterday. But Nunes was excellent yesterday.
And Shiggs, there's another part of the goal we've not spoken about, mate.
Yeah,
Alexander Arnold. Tell me about this guy, bro.
He just said to him, "Does he want gravy with it?" That's what he said. That's what he said to him. Like, it was the thing about it is, like, when I was watching it, I was like, also, I think it was either Gakpo or Robbo was free on the back post. So I was like, switch it. And then when I saw the pass to me, I said, oh. The only thing I was worried about is that please be onside, and he was. So yeah, I think as well. Like, I don't know if you saw, but you wouldn't have seen. You wouldn't have seen Ben, but there was the interview that Trent gave after the match, and he was just like, the team just feels like it's back to kind of. And I know I don't want to get into false dawns and stuff like that, but he just said when they're out there, it just felt more like how they've been playing before, like before they've had the dip. And also, again, I've got to give another shout out to this Stefan guy as well. Like, he don't look out of place. Like, I know we've been talking about it for the last couple of games, but again, you wouldn't expect an 18-year-old to be look as comfortable as. I know we'll get onto him later, but I just wanted to give him a special shout.
Listen,
out.
I'll say in the last stream, I don't want to get too carried away, but I think he's the new Sergio Busquets. There we go. Yeah, or Xabi Alonso, you take your pick. But Eunice makes a great point. The best English right back at fault for two goals. Didn't hear him peep from the commentary. It doesn't fit their agenda, mate. It's not as cool, and it doesn't get as many clicks to like criticize Kieran Trippier. If they did a piece on Kieran Trippier, a 5 or 10 minute video criticizing him, saying how no one's gonna watch that. Like, not one person's gonna watch
that. No clicks.
Exactly. And Trent, like, people are so fast to criticize him. And I've seen he low key since the World Cup. He's been getting better and better. Even when he's not been assisting, I think he's been getting better and better. Even defensively, I think he's been good. St. Max gave the boys and, you know, a couple of their players gave them a tough time at times yesterday, but they held their own out there.
Stood up to it, though.
Exactly. And this is my big frustration with Trent. Everyone's so quick to criticize him and to dig him out and all of this stuff. But when he's good, you don't hear it. No one talks about it apart from us. So it's our job to do it. So we have to keep going with it. Yeah. Second goal then, it came relatively similar. And Shiggs, I'm going to let you go because you're itching to talk about Stefan's turn.
Yeah, you know what I love about that goal? It's the way that Stefan just dropped the shoulder and left the guy. Like, and lovely. And then the thing I like about it as well, that Gakpo got onto it, was the one that initiated it in terms of coming in from the left. And you got to give Salah, I've criticized Salah as well, but the ball he played to him, I can't even, lovely goal, 2-2 now. And even during the course of the game, I know we're talking about how it started and stuff like that, but I don't know if it was just me, but it did seem like Cody just had a little bit more confidence in his touch, in his movement, just a little bit more assured. Or was that just me?
Mo, do you want to tell it?
Yeah, I was going to say, Gakpo overall looked so comfortable on yesterday. And I like we touched on before, it literally is just about them getting used to playing with each other, getting used to the little intangibles that each and each other do, getting used to the way they play, and then front three. Because like I said, because of the way we play, we rely on chemistry and knowing what the other person is going to do. Certain triggers, certain situations. And now because they're gelling, we're seeing the full fruits of that. We're seeing Gakpo make the runs that he wasn't making before. Because perhaps before he was thinking, oh, will I be found? But now he knows that awful movement in that front three is so key. And now he's getting used to that. Maybe out of the 10 movements he does, he might not be found for 5 or 6 of them. But he knows for at least one time, one run that I do, I'm going to be found. And like I said, with the Salah did it. Perhaps Salah didn't even see exactly where Gakpo was going. But he just put in an area knowing that someone arrived there.
Yeah.
And I'll give credit to Nunes. So that's what Nunes has been doing from the beginning. And this is that, I don't know, perhaps instruction on the manager, maybe it was easier because he started from the beginning of the season. He had a full preseason as well. So Nunes, no. But because Gakpo was coming, remember, Gakpo came straight into the team. It took him time to gel a little bit, get used to the way we play. And now that he has, we're seeing the full fruits of it. He's been excellent.
Yeah, definitely.
Spot on. And of course, Willie has made a great point. We must pay our respects to Christian Atsu and all his family, and you know, I think his wife and his children were there yesterday, and it was a really sad moment at the beginning of the game, and you could sense it in the ground, to be fair, that there was something a bit off. And you know, obviously it's devastating over what's happening over there, and you know, to hear that news that he passed away. I mean, anybody, you know, there's hundreds of people, but you know, when it's somebody that you've watched in the Premier League at numerous clubs, it's just like, different. Whoa, like this can happen to anybody. And also, I will quickly just mention our friends at Born in Red doing an incredible job raising money and getting stuff out there. I think Sir Jord is actually out there right now, getting stuff out to people that need it. So, Yeah. Hopefully everybody there, if you know they've lost a loved one or whatever situation they're going through, they can find peace with time. And
Yeah,
it's a really sad moment. But yeah, for me, just going back to Gakpo real quick, I feel like it's not rocket science, lads, is it? I mean, we're all sensible people on here. We, you know, when Liverpool make a signing, we think as sensible football fans, let's give them a bit of time. It's a shame that not many other people on social media think that way. We bring a player in mid-season from a completely different league in a time where Liverpool aren't functioning as a team. And now, oh, he's not scored in 5 games. Like, come on, man, what are we doing? And you know what? Even when he wasn't scoring the goals, I did want to see a little bit more from him, but I could still see little bits and pieces of him that made me think, like, okay, he looks like a good player. Same with Nunes. When Nunes wasn't scoring goals, same thing. It's just about time. And, you know, he's got a bit of familiarity now. I think Mo's been going on about chemistry with Nunes and Salah. It's just a shame. It looks like Nunes might be injured now for Tuesday, I think.
Yeah,
the rumours are. We'll get onto that in a bit. But, yeah, I mean, we've got the option now with Jota, so it could be okay. But, Mo, I don't know if you've spoken about the goal, mate, but I said it was our goal of the season. I watched it back this morning, and I've not seen us play that way for a very long time, mate. That fluidity and the tempo and the vision from Salah to Gakpo. Would you agree with that? Do you think it's the goal of the season, or at least up there with goal of the season for us?
I don't want to rush and say it's the goal of the season straight away, but it was definitely one of our best
games.
The sheer joy and like the Nunes goal for me, just like, even though it was the same game, it gave me a bit more. Something about Nunes scoring, I see a lot of people talking about it too, the way when Nunes scores, it hits differently. And to be fair, that I can see why people say they celebrate. I think the Anfield talk about posted where he realized when the fans were chanting his name, he just looked up and appreciated it. Yeah. So, but yeah, in terms of the build up, that was, like I said, that was classic Liverpool. The way we played, coming out from the back, you saw Stefan and his little turnover, and then just little and little combination plays. The little triangles operating in the pitch, the right hand side, Salah coming inside where he's so good, Trent overlapping, and Salah making a decisive pass to find Gakpo. These are the patterns. Like, all the goals we have scored in the last 3 days are goals that we are so used to seeing, but we haven't seen in the last few months because the rest of the team has been collapsing. But like I said, like the goals we scored in Everton, against Everton, the goals we scored today, all very different goals, but goals that the kind of attacking patterns, the kind of little moves, etc., are goals that we should be scoring, the goals that we're capable of scoring simply because the way we play. So yeah, I thought like I said, I'm so happy Klopp stuck with this in midfield, and what I'm particularly happy about is that the fact that two very, very big games, Everton and Newcastle, we've won, and we won them convincingly, in my opinion, heading
clean
into the game.
Sheet.
Exactly, two clean sheets. Klopp spoke about our first clean sheet away since April last season, which is incredible. But two big games, like two very big games, like the Merseyside derby and away at Newcastle, that we've won convincingly, coming into a massive game on Tuesday. I can't overstate how important the confidence we get from that, because perhaps if it was a 3 p.m. kickoff at home to, I don't know, Bournemouth or something like that, it wouldn't feel the same. But because these two games have come so close to each other, and they're massive game in their own respective rights, I feel like it was so important for us to get the win, and I'm happy we did.
Spot on, mate. Spot on. Big up, Kevin says, look, I'll give you some context behind this. I put in our group chat, I'm not being overreactionary, but these guys are going to be the best three in the world. And listen, I stand by it. You know, you saw what the Norwegian Darwin Nunes was up to yesterday. missing sitters.
Nah,
listen. That's what I'll call him now, the Norwegian Darwin Nunes. So I stand so by it. Exactly. Mate, listen, if Darwin Nunes misses those chances...
Yeah,
bro, those clips are getting millions of views, man.
Yeah, but, he's getting memed up.
Yeah, let's go on to the main event of what happened in that first half. Nick Pope thinking he was playing handball. Like, you know what was mad about this as well, mate? what's it? Eddie Howe said that it was harsh.
It's only harsh
because he's missing the United game. That's why it's harsh.
I don't care. A rule's a rule, bro. If you know that the rule is the rule, like if you get a red card, you miss the next game. But it speaks to a bigger thing, though. Like, as soon as that happened, as soon as Alisson made that pass, I said, where's Salah? Where is he? Because he's looking to score. And this the reason I bring that up is because Pope knew that's fear. That fear makes people do things that they're not supposed to do. And he knew anyhow Salah gets onto that ball is 3-0.
Already had the first like kind of example of it in the first half. It was the Nunes, and he just about got there, but it was very close. And then we did it again, and he's for some reason thought he could outpace.
Sorry, mate. Them's the breaks, isn't it?
Yeah, and now
have you seen what's going to happen now?
Don't.
No, but I'm not even.
Because that's what I said. We were speaking about it as soon as it happened, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'd rather.
No, but no. You know what? Let me say this.
It's going to be 6-0, mate. It's going to be 6-0.
No.
6-0.
For me, look, listen. What's happened has happened. I would love for Newcastle to win, even if
Karius. Of course, mate. If Karius wins the game, he's a hero. Like,
yeah,
if,
like I
well, it's
I
not going to happen. There's no
I
chance.
I hope that's going to happen, but the way I see that our Rashford is moving today, that's a 5G. Them men are getting tucked in.
Mate, there is no chance they win with Karius in goal, man.
Tucked in.
He's not even been playing football. Like, they're just going to stick him in. The guy's not even been playing.
Listen, it's the best way, man. It is what it is. But for Pope, listen, bro, I get it. He missed it. Was it that he missed the header? He went to head the ball.
He went for a diving header for some unknown reason. Completely missed it. And then puts two hands on the ball. And we could see it from the stands.
You know those pinball machines where you see the arms come up like that?
Yeah.
And they do this.
It's just mad. Like, if it's 0-0 or if you're winning, then I can kind of understand. But you're already 2-0 down. If anything, just let Salah go through. Go 3-0 down, and you're still starting on Sunday.
It doesn't matter, you could be 1-0 up in the 90th minute. It doesn't matter for you to miss the cup final is absolutely a cup final that you work so hard to get to. Two semi legs against
the first final since 99, I think.
That's nice for Newcastle, especially like insane. But Shake's touching it. It's in the moment. You're not thinking about cup final. How do I stop a goal? Salah's going to score. You just think of that.
I don't want to hear none of this. Oh, he's a good guy. Listen, the rules are rule, bro.
There's no way he's getting out of that. Not a chance. There's no chance he's getting
away with it. If they let him play, I swear.
No way. They won't. They can't. Mo, I want to ask you a question, mate, because for when they went down to 10, and I think this happens a lot with us. It's a bit of a trend I see.
Mentality.
It became harder to play and to get the chances. And why do you think that is, mate? Because this ain't the first time we've seen our opposition go down to 10 and then we struggle to kill them off.
I think the biggest example of this kind of scenario, if anyone remembers, the semi-final home leg against Arsenal, Carabao Cup?
Yeah.
Where Xhaka got a red card, where we were absolutely killing Arsenal. Xhaka got a red card, and then from then it was so horrible to watch. One of our worst games in that. It was horrible, exactly. But it's an issue that we continue to face like consistently in terms of the way when a team gets a red card and then they set up in this very very mid to low block. We struggle so much to play against teams who play there with 11 men. But with 10 men, it becomes harder because they get even more compact, even more narrow, and their minds becomes how do we just make sure there's no space for the opponent to play in? But yeah, it's a big issue. From the solution, I mean, I guess when Jota came on and Firmino came on,
we still had chances in the end.
Yeah, but that's mostly because Newcastle gave up and they were more thinking about how to score. But imagine that red card came when it was still 0-0. I feel like this game would be very, very different. Because
it would have been one goal max.
Exactly. Newcastle, there's no way Newcastle would have given up as much space as they did when they were trying to find a goal to get back into the game. So yeah, it's an issue that continues to be, even when we were at our best, a red card to an opponent is one of the worst things that can happen to us.
Oh, man. Oh my! Yeah.
It was last season also against Chelsea where Reece James got a red card and it was hideous to watch also again.
Yeah, second exactly, half we couldn't break, couldn't get nowhere near.
Yeah, Shiggs as well. Like I speak to brother about this. You know, because we were 2-0 up at that point, do you think there was a case of we've got the 2-0 lead, they're down to 10, we've got Madrid on Tuesday, maybe sort of ease off a bit, reserve a bit of energy instead of going full throttle when we don't really need to, kind of thing?
And it's human nature. Let's not try and make out these people are superhuman beings. They're great footballers, but at the back of your mind, you're kind of thinking, right, okay, we don't have to not press as hard, but we don't have to go as forceful because we're 2-0 up. And if they do come out, we've got the players to hit them on the break or hit them in the spaces. So in that particular sense, like Mo said, because we were already 2-0 up, it didn't really affect us as much as it would have if we was 0-0, which is a good thing. And to Mo's point again, getting the first goal opened up the game because then they had to come. We are the worst team to play unless you go one down because then you have to open up even more. So it's like you said, maybe in the summer, hopefully we can, because we haven't got a player, a midfielder that can kind of like knit a through ball through a number of people. Maybe Thiago can do it, but I can't really think of anybody else that can really do that. Maybe Carvalho, but we haven't really seen him do it in a Liverpool shirt. He used to do that for Fulham, but again.
Naby, lad.
Yeah, he can as well. He can. Yeah. But he just doesn't get the opportunity to play as much.
He's got it. That's why. That's real.
Unfortunately, his body hasn't been able to hold up to the rigors of the Premier League. So, unfortunately, it is what it is. But like Mo was saying, in terms of the 10, go down to 10 men, we still, I don't know what it is because when they're putting in the crosses and stuff like that, we don't tend to flood the area, opposing area. So it's always two or three men against one. So there's always cover for somebody, or if they go past one or they go past two, there's a third person and there's not enough support. So it's something that Klopp that needs to work on and the backroom staff need to work on. But yeah, hopefully they address that in the summer in terms of getting midfielders that have different qualities to bring to the table so that if that situation does arise, we do have somebody that can unlock the door, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly, mate. And for the rest of that game as well, like Mo said, we had chances when Jota came on. We had chances. I think there was that one where Robertson, I wanted him to shoot, but he's played it across the box. Yeah. There was just half chances and chances for the rest of that, like, last 10, 15 minutes. But Newcastle also had some chances. Dan Burns hit the bar. Alisson's forced into that save with Callum Wilson. I've seen the comment. And look, if Wilson scores in that shot where I think if that's anyone else in goal, you know, Wilson probably does score.
Yeah.
Again, it all of a sudden becomes irrelevant that they're down to 10 because they'll be pushing for an equaliser and the game changes. And they were getting chances anyway, even with 10 men. So we are so lucky, and I need to speak on him more than we did at the beginning because I can't speak on him enough. There's no more words left in me to describe Alisson Becker. He is the best goalkeeper we've ever had. I can't disrespect the people I didn't see before me, such as Ray Clements and people like that. But from what I've seen in 25 years, there has been nobody better than Alisson Becker.
Nah.
And I said it to my mate the other day as well. We won't have a better goalkeeper than him in our lifetime. Not a chance. He is that good.
Yeah,
there's no way another. No, I'm sorry. He's in a bracket of his own. And like you said, Shiggs, without him, like we've got a glimmer of hope for top four now. Without him, there's none. There's none. If he had an injury, touch wood, I'm touching that because I don't want that to happen. And Kelleher, as good as he is, he's not Alisson. If something happened and we had to use Kelleher for the rest of the season, we ain't getting top four. But Alisson, we have a chance now.
Yeah.
And just, quickly on Alisson. The reason why we can say perhaps he's one of the best or in our best in lifetime with so much conviction is because often the goalkeepers here on the wall, they often have an attribute that they excel in that makes them so good. Whereas with Alisson, honestly, I genuinely cannot see an attribute where, or one of the key attributes, let me say it like this, where he struggles in. So his distribution, elite distribution. He's one-on-one elite. Free kicks elite, free kicks elite, long shot stopping from far range elite, claiming crosses very good. Except to be fair, claiming crosses perhaps there and then, but majority of time he either gets fouled or he does it or he claims
the cross. Away, yeah.
Exactly. So, for example, like other keepers around the world, like De Gea, for example, perhaps he's one on one, perhaps he's okay. He's shot stopping with his feet is okay, but he lacks in so many other areas. You look at Edison is a below par shot stopper, but elite distribution of his feet, very
player. Yeah.
Alisson has all these attributes, and not only is he just competent at that, he's very, very good at it. He's not an all-rounder, he's an elite keeper at every single aspect. And that's why we can say with so much conviction that this is one of the best goalkeepers we've ever seen, and the best goalkeeper definitely right now. So yeah, I'm very glad we're having a goal. And also, just quickly, you touched on the chances we conceded at Wilson. I think one of the reasons why perhaps we can be so risky over Haaland is that we have him in goal, and the two opportunities where perhaps our high line doesn't work, we know why we have Alisson goal. So it's a risk worth taking because you get so many added benefits with the high line. Because other teams play high line. I'm not going to say we're the only team that plays high line. Like United play high line, City play high line. But the way we play, because we squeeze team in their own half so much, and our midfielders are in certain areas, it makes the Haaland super, super risky. And to be fair to our team, 9 times out of 10, 8 times out of 10, when we're playing good, it works. But of course, the odd opportunities, they get chances. But we're willing to allow that because we have Alisson goal. So therefore, I didn't really have a massive issue with Wilson getting that chance, because I know for a fact that the majority of the game, we were defending the transition really well. Mm. But of course, the odd opportunities, we're going to concede them. But we have Alisson goal, which is the most important thing, yeah.
Do you know the maddest thing about... Do you remember when we piped Roma 5-2 and everyone was like, oh, this Alisson is not a good goalkeeper. And then we get him and then it just it's like he let me put it to like this. Not recently, but the seasons before, I would be surprised when the player scored against us. I got surprised. That's how good he was. That's how good he is. Like, I'm surprised when the striker scores against.
Since Alisson's come in and over time, I genuinely don't get as much fear as a 1v1 that we can see them before. No. Like,
yeah,
Wilson, like, we don't get scared. And then when we can see, like, then we feel that feeling we're meant to feel when they go through and
yeah.
Well, Alisson is such a delayed reaction because he should save that. We just think he's going to save it.
Yeah.
So the
expectation that we have of him now is so high. It's like, oh, come on, Alisson, man, you got to save. You got to do better, bro. And he's like, any normal keeper would be like, he's never
seen. Yeah, no, it's true. And, you know, we can only hope that we have him for a long, long time. I don't know when his contract runs out. I think it's a very long one. Exactly. We're going to get his prime years, and hopefully there's many more trophies to follow because he deserves to win them, and his performances. Not this season, we could still win one, but he deserves to win trophies because he is the best, and the best players deserve to win trophies. And we will get on into the Champions League in just a moment. But before that, there was a comment. Kev says, our Spurs. No, I'm not doing the Nabi one. I'm not doing that today. You can just look at the lovely purple Nabi shirt behind me instead. Our Spurs a bigger challenge for the top four? And that's a good point, because since yesterday, the situation has changed slightly because we were looking at Newcastle. But now we're 7 points off Tottenham, who are fourth.
We've got
two games in hand, and we still have Tottenham to play at home. At Anfield.
Yeah,
So, as well as that, there was a comment underneath it just from Eunice. Yes, Kevin, because they've already played Arsenal and City twice. I'm not looking into that too much, to be honest with you, mate, because the other week they got absolutely battered by Leicester, and they've had, you know, games against those kind of teams where they've lost or drawn. They might be up for the big teams, and that's all well and good, but it is those Leicester games that I'm looking at, those kind of ones. And they lost to Villa as well, didn't they? 2-0, drew to Brentford. So they're going to drop points. Like, they are where they are because they've been inconsistent.
We just need to make sure we capitalise when we
exactly.
When we do.
And I said in the I think it was the Everton podcast, if we beat Everton, which we did, and Newcastle, the run starts now. And I can only hope that it does, because we've got a chance now. We didn't have a chance. We were down and out. Mo said we're still in the race for top four. He got laughed at for it. Mo,
yeah.
you were right. We, as we speak right now, obviously we don't know what's going to happen in the future, but looking at the league table right now, I'd say we have a pretty good chance.
Like I was speaking about before when I said we're definitely in the half of top four. It's about this league depends on momentum. If you look at the last three league tables, there is nobody who got fourth and third place by being consistent throughout the whole season. Everybody who got fourth place in the last few years is because they weren't particularly good in the beginning, and they and what they did the last 15, 14, maybe even 10 games, as we proved in 2021, they clutched up. And that's exactly what we've got to do. I looked at last season with Spurs when they got fourth place. Spurs last season, do you remember, they started with Nuno. They lost three games on a bounce. They weren't particularly consistent with Conte, and then they got top four. The season before, it was us, Chelsea and Liverpool, fighting out for third and fourth. None of us, Chelsea were horrible for majority of the season until Tuchel came in. We were bad for the second part of the whole season, and then we still got top four. So top four isn't decided in August, September, October, November, December, even January. Top four isn't decided in February, in my opinion, either. It's about what you do in those crucial games where everybody knows their goals, and it's about who can get their goals. Arsenal City know exactly what they want. We know what we want. It's about who's willing to be consistent enough, and we are, and hopefully we can be. So we'll see. But yeah, go on, Shiggs.
To add to that, you know what's kind of giving me confidence? Did you see the interview from Gakpo after the Everton game? And he was saying, "Oh, so what's and he goes, what's, he goes, what do you mean, win all our games?" That's and he was like, "What else would have to say?" And I was like, that mentality right there just showed me that they're in their head, they can go unbeaten for the rest of the season. In their head. So if they believe that, then like Mo has already opened the door to it, why shouldn't we?
You can see from the Everton game, there is a difference in how they're playing. Like if you can't see that, then I find that a bit mad. Even yesterday, we did concede a few chances, and second half and after they got the red card, it wasn't as good as the first 20 minutes, but there were still patterns of play. There were still moments in the games that I hadn't seen for a long time, and I keep going back to that second goal. Just football we haven't seen us play in a long, long time, and I can just see that there's something that's happened that has given this squad a fresh sense of hope. I can see it in the manager, the way he's conducting himself now compared to, say, 3-4 weeks ago. I don't know what, but he just seems a lot more happier. Maybe it's because he's got his squad coming back and that's giving him more optimism. But it was a bit, not rude, but, a bit sharp with the press.
Yeah,
and people abrasive. Asking the questions. Yeah, yeah, but now he seems more his normal self. And, you know, if the manager believes we can, and like you said, Shiggs, if Gakpo and all the boys think we can do it, then why not? We've been in a situation before where we had to go on a run in 2021 season.
Yeah.
Last with 10 games.
Matt Phillips and Reece James.
Exactly. With forwards players line. As well. So we've got the experience now in doing these kind of things. We're going on the run where you have to win 8 out of 10 games. And I'm not saying that's what we have to do this time. I don't think it will be, because like Mo says, everyone that's around fourth to whatever, they're there because they've been inconsistent. And, you know, we just need to get a couple more wins back to back to back. And I think we'll be up there or thereabouts.
And also the just quickly, I've got 2 points. The issues that we face, yes, we have injury issue, but they're different from other clubs where perhaps Tottenham are struggling because they've got key injuries, or Newcastle struggling because they had a few injuries. Also, whereas our issue, where one of the core issues as to why we're not playing particularly good is simply because, like I said, of our application, termination, intensity, etc. But those things, importantly, we can rediscover. That's the difference. Injured players, they can't come back suddenly. Whereas with us, the things that make us so good, these are things that we can rediscover, and we're starting to see little signs of those of us rediscovering that. And also, I was gonna quickly touch upon. It's incredible that this is the second time where perhaps we faced a really, really, quote unquote, shit period under Klopp, where we had that two years ago, and we had that now. Periods where it looks really, really bleak, and it looks horrible in the press conferences. The players look dejected, etc. And yet, Klopp is still able to maintain very, very good. The dressing room still seems, the dressing room still seems to be fragile as well. And I think the Anfield talk to post a clip by Henderson talk about Klopp. This is down to the manager at the end of the day. The fact that when it gets horrible, when it gets bleak like this, you have a manager who's still able to rile up these players. Because it's easy for players to think, like, we're doing so much, there's only so much we can do, and they just end up giving up. They start to fall away with the manager's way of playing. And this happens to successful managers. You look at Jose, every club that he goes to, eventually the players start to feel a bit disillusioned. They start to fall out of love the way he plays. Even though he's won everywhere he's gone to, you look at Chelsea, season after they fell out of love, even though he won the Premier League a few months ago. Whereas with Klopp, it doesn't seem these players can ever fall out of love with him. There's no way these players can ever not want to play for him. And that's one of the attributes that perhaps are that's a dynamic or an attribute that you can't find in the manager market, where these managers, only certain managers possess this, maybe like someone like a Pep, even someone like an Arteta to be fair to him also. Klopp has this attribute which makes him really, really special that other managers don't have, that these players, no matter what happens, even if it's a 6 months of playing horrible, they can't fall out of him. So I just want to put that on the record about something about that Klopp's really good at doing.
Yeah. And you know what? It's true what you say about the players playing for the manager, because inevitably after a few losses and whatever, especially ones at home, there was talk on Twitter and stuff as the manager lost the dressing room. And I think that was a bit excessive. I don't think he'd lost the dressing room. I just think
I hold my hands up. I thought he had. Just because that Wolves game, that's probably the worst I've ever seen us play. Like, just so disjointed. And for me,
I said the goals we conceded, you could see.
Yeah,
it's
the worst. And it's like, and you know me already, Ben. If I'm thinking I'm in the wrong, I'll say, listen, I hold my hands up. I didn't think he'd be able to turn it around just because of the whole what had happened at Dortmund. And
I don't think anyone believed that we could turn this season around. I wrote it off because we were that bad for that long, and it was, like you say, as bad as it's been. And I definitely wrote this season off for sure. But you know, it's just crazy, isn't it, what a couple of wins can do. Like, this is what I was saying yesterday as well. The thing is, we've still got gears to go until we're anywhere near our best.
We're nowhere near our final form.
No way.
And I hate to give credit to our rivals, but you look at Manchester United, two humongous losses at the beginning of the season. Two losses that could completely derail their season, Brentford and Brighton. And all it takes is they turn around instantly and look at where they are. They're able to compete with Barcelona. Mm-hmm. They're able to be amongst Man City and Arsenal in terms of being a few points behind. The players that we've got, we know they're quality players. There's no way from 5 months later these players decline so much individually and suddenly 20, 10 million pound players. That's impossible. It's attributes that we can't see, attributes that are within themselves that we can't see, about the application, about the determination, about the intensity, about their confidence. These are things that are so crucial to the way we play, because we haven't got a squad like Man City where, for example, if Ake is out of form, Laporte can come in. Or Cancelo's out of form, he can get sold. We can't sell Trent. We can't sell Robertson. We can't sell Van Dijk. Those things are not going to happen. We can't. Like I say, Grealish is coming into the team now and helping them. Bernardo Silva playing at left-back. We haven't got these dynamic solutions within our squad. What we rely on is these players having to find these gears. And thankfully, we have a manager who's able to do that. So no matter how bleak it gets, until for example, where it gets to a point where it's where our whole season up until April, May is going to derail. I think it would be irrational to lose confidence in Klopp without giving him a full season, because I feel like we've seen it too often now where we go through a period and he's able to turn it around. So therefore, why should you see this period now and think, oh, he can't turn it around? You have to continue. To continue to look back at what has done and keep believing. But yeah, but like you touched on, because that Wolves game, if you're two goals, Klopp touching it, when you look at their body language, when you look at the thinking, I can completely empathize with people who think, oh, there's no way a manager can stand at these plays and within 10 minutes they're playing like that. But then you actually, all you have to do is contextualize it and remember, this is a Klopp team, this is a Liverpool team. There are intangibles, there are dynamics that we can't quantify as fans, that we can't see behind the dressing room.
Yeah, facts.
And exactly. But But yeah, I'm glad these two wins. It's given a sense of confidence that we can't, especially heading into Real Madrid. Like I said, two big games in their own rights. Newcastle away, Everton home. Incredible, incredible.
Yeah. Let's get on to that then, mate. That's a great segue. I remember saying before, like, one of the important factors into hitting form is not just to get back in the race for top four, also Champions League and Shigs. In terms of a trophy, this is it now. You know, this is all we have. Unlucky for us, it's the only team, well, as well as Atletico Madrid, it's the only team really that stopped us in the Klopp era. So what are you feeling now, mate? Are you are you more confident after the last two
games?
Okay,
let me put it like this. I'm more confident than I was when we just lost the Wolves. but I've still got my
reservation.
I'm still hesitant to say that we're going to beat them, just because for one reason, because Atletico Madrid, I'm not worried about them. I think we've got their number now. But for some reason, this Madrid team seems to have our number. I don't know what it is. I can't put a finger on it. It's like they're not. Obviously, they've got just Modric, Vinicius, Benzema. Like, they just have a... I can't explain it.
Do you know what
they
it is? And our fans got really annoyed at Ancelotti, but I think he was right. And I actually do agree with him to some extent. He said in an interview after the Champions League final that the reason why they've been so successful with Liverpool is because we're too predictable. I said every time they've played against us, they know how we're going to set up, what we're going to be looking for. And that's why I'm hoping this time we'll do something slightly different. Because, you know, our fans are getting annoyed at him. But he was right. From what
no,
I saw,
he's not wrong.
I think the Champions League final just gone, I do think we were the better team on the night.
Yeah, was quality.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to put the ball in the back of the net and take your chances. But, I agree with you, mate. This is the only team, really. We've played them twice in finals, lost them both. We played them in the COVID season. I don't really, you know what? I don't really have too many memories from that game. I can't lie.
Let me ask you this then, Ben.
Go on.
Yeah, I'm going to stick my neck. If we beat them, do we win the trophy?
Win the Champions League. Book your hotel, mate.
Yeah.
If we beat Real Madrid, it's ours. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, cool. You heard it first.
Hello, Stefan. How are you doing, mate? Shigs really likes your name because he's a big fan of Stefan.
Yeah.
Listen, mate, if we beat Real Madrid, that is the only team that's going to stop us. I'll see it with my chest.
So, number seven incoming?
Number seven.
Number six.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Well,
Klopp even said book the finals in Istanbul.
Is this that point? Oh, what are we doing? I'm not allowing myself to dream yet. I'm not doing it.
Mate, what are you saying about Madrid, mate?
It's going to be such a difficult game, and like I said, it's going to depend on like similar to the Newcastle game, but simply for how we start the game again.
Yeah,
the Real Madrid are a team that come in the game. They never start. Like I watched a few La Liga games season. I watched them last season. They managed to win the La Liga, Super Cup, and Real Madrid games. But they never ever start games off well. They're not able to come into games quickly. So, like I said, like us getting an early goal, us scoring two, even if we're 2-0 up within 30 minutes, it genuinely means nothing.
I saw it last season, didn't we?
Last season, and even there was a Villarreal game this season they played in the Copa del Rey, and this is what happened: Villarreal go 2-0 up. It's like half time. And they finished the game within 90 minutes, by the way. No extra time, 3-2. They win the game 3-2. So,
they just have that winning mentality. That's what it is.
No matter what happens, like, regardless of... It could be Benzema could get subbed off or some... Akib, no matter what happens, the players on the pitch are going to give it their all. They have an application, a level of intensity that we've, in my opinion, that a gear that we don't find, because people know when we go 2-0 down, we very rarely come back. We very, very I can't remember a game where we've gone 2-0 down in recent memory and we've won the game 3-2. But whereas with this Real Madrid team, they're always consistently able to. They're always consistently able to come back. So in my opinion, it's going to depend so much on the mentality of these players, and if they're able to for 90 minutes, for 120 minutes, for the two legs, able to constantly give it their all. And Rafa Benitez, he did a segment with Sky Sports after the game. I don't know if people saw about.
I was going to mention it.
Exactly, yeah. About you can go and explain it, Shiggs, but it was literally about the dangers of Vinicius and Benzema. The fact that if we concede the high quality chances that we did to Newcastle, Alisson can't, and we do, and we don't play, and we play even 10% less because we did do well against Newcastle. But if we can see even more chances, the game will be far far from us. And one not Real Madrid. If we go 2-0 down, I can't see us winning the tie at all. So, yeah. So it depends. It depends on the mentality. Do we have the capabilities of playing beating Real Madrid? 1,000,000% in my opinion, we can definitely beat Real Madrid across two legs. I don't doubt that. But it depends if we're switched on for 90 minutes. And the way Klopp is moving on the touchline, I don't know if he believes these players can be switched on for 100, 120 minutes because he is I've never seen him this angry on a touchline in a while. And that's because when he sees something, because Klopp in recent, I'm speaking a bit too long now, but just quickly.
No, go on.
Like Klopp in recent years on touchline, he's become much more muted, a bit subdued in terms that he's not as aggressive as touchline. But this season he's much more animated, and that's because the players on the pitch are not playing how he wants to be playing. Yeah. He's constantly barking at touchline. He's got this and that. So and that's not a good sign. It means these players aren't switched on. So like I said, these players have to be switched on. But do we have the quality? Do we have the system? Can we be Real Madrid? Yes, we can. And they're not in a good moment also. So hopefully we'll see.
For me, it's gonna just quickly. I would simply play counter-attacking football. We sit back and you come on to us. That's how I see Liverpool beating Madrid, because we've done the whole. You can't really press Madrid because they've got players like Modric and Camavinga and Tchouameni who will just play around the press and Cruz. So I would actually take the underdog route. We're going to sit back, we're going to soak up pressure and hit you on the break. We don't have the guile to kind of play that through them, because as soon as they pick us apart, you know who the player is I'm most worried about? And people might laugh at me, is Valverde. That's the guy that I'm worried about in that team, because him and Vinicius, they seem to have a way of playing which they're impervious to being pressed. So I know it's a bit of a lazy way to think about it, but let them come on to us and then we take it from there.
I just feel as well, like with the first leg being at Anfield, I don't like that myself. I prefer to bring it back.
You know what? I actually prefer it.
Yeah. Because you can try and get off to a good start.
3 years ago, it was the other way around.
Just because Anfield for us in the Champions League has been an extreme safety net. There's no safety net in the second leg. We have to go there and take what we need from there. So you have to be on your mettle. And as much as people will say, that they won't take it for granted. Sometimes we take Anfield for granted. I think, it's Anfield. We'll get the result. We can't rely on it on this time, which is a good thing for me.
I just feel like that crowd on Tuesday is going to be
even more because they know that we're not coming back there.
Exactly. And it'll be a huge factor. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion even from our own fans, and rightfully so, to be fair. I've been in quite a few times this season, and I'll be honest, it has been dead for some of the games. But I know for a Champions League game against Real Madrid, there's no chance it will be dead. Those guys will be, you know, on it. They'll be welcoming the bus. They'll be singing for the whole game. They'll be booing when Madrid after all of those things. And yeah, it will be a big factor for sure. And I think I slightly agree with you, Shiggs. You know, get off to a good start and then go there with something to play for. Just to answer the question I asked you guys about confidence, I am a bit more confident. I'm always confident in the Champions League. It's our competition. It's our bread and butter. Like, no one scares me in the Champions League. I'll take anybody, like any team in the world, bring them to me. But Stefan has made a great point, and this is what I was visioning as well. I thought Darwin Nunez would be a huge factor in this game. Like, because of his pace alone, I don't think Madrid are blessed with the quickest of fullbacks. I thought he would be immense against them. So that, like he says at the end, let's pray that he's fit. If not, then I can see, obviously, Jota will come in. And again, like we've said, he was good when he came on yesterday. But that just leads me on finally to the rest of the team then. Mo, come to you first. What other changes do you see? Because obviously, if Nunez is out, we're assuming Jota will just come in. What else, mate? Can that team that's played Everton and Newcastle, can they go one more time?
Definitely 100%. I think we're glad we played on a Saturday and not like on a Sunday, Wednesday. I prefer this dynamic where we play Saturday and then we play on a Tuesday. I don't mind that. And especially I'm glad that it's not a massive, massive turnaround, because this team, you could tell, because we're relying on momentum right now, the fact that the games are so close to each other is perhaps a good thing. When games are close to each other and not playing well, it's a fantastic thing in my opinion. So I'm glad they can just go again. It's Real Madrid at home. There's no need for 5 days, 6 days rest. They're gonna be off it straight away. And yeah, in terms of any other personnel, I'm very satisfied with Gomez and Van Dijk. I don't think Matip should come to this game. I think perhaps sometimes his erratic behavior it won't be useful against us. I think Gomez is much more composed on the ball. I feel like Matip is also good on the ball, and I feel like Gomez is too. But I feel like just because Matip can be a bit too erratic on the ball, he will concede turnovers. And like I said, conceding turnovers against a team that thrives off space and who have killers in their team in Vinicius and Benzema, we would be doomed. So I don't see any other personal change for me. Personally, I'm happy with the midfield. I'm happy with the defence. I'd be happy for Nunes starting. I think against the right back cover, I think he can cause chaos. But like Shakes touched on, the way you play will be so important. I want to say let's completely go sit back and think and counterattack, but I get why she's saying that, because if we play the way we normally play with perhaps his own, where we have a control of the ball, there'll be so much space on the pitch. There'll be loads of space on the pitch, and if we can see that much space on the pitch with Vinicius, with Benzema, with Rodrigo, with Modric and Camavinga and Cruz, you can pick up fantastic passes. Remember, it was a goal. It was the first goal against us in the first leg 2 years back. Remember, it was a ball over the top from
long ball, yeah,
Cruz to across Phillips, and this time it might be Van Dijk on the end of the
game.
Yeah, exactly. They have elite technicians and elite finishers on the pitch. Therefore,
all over the place. Yeah.
And giving them spaces is like writing a death note.
The French Darwin Nunes.
Nah, exactly. Don't dispense them like that. Benzema is elite. Let's not mess around. That guy is an elite baller. Elite.
He is. Nah, he is. Should have won Ballon d'Or though, but there we go.
What did I say about Valverde?
You did say that.
Yeah, Valverde, another player. And think about Valverde, the way he plays is also very interesting. He'll end up starting on the right, but what he does is float in between the lines. He'll float if Henderson or Fabinho or Stefan are not positionally perfect, he will take advantage of that, and it could be dangerous. Let's say Henderson overcommits on the right hand side. Valverde will be there and he'll be able to pick up the ball and drive with the ball and take and give and exploit more spaces on the pitch. And I think Chicks was going to speak about earlier. Benitez talking about the fact that our players have to be closer to the opponent players. There was a situation in the last game where Trent wasn't covering a certain space and Van Dijk had to cover him, and then that left another player exposed. Yeah. So these players, they have to be mentally perfect. Man City were mentally perfect for 2 games and 2 minutes cost them the whole time. Pep coached a 6-0 win. and they still lost the game. So regardless, luck has to be on our side, but positionally, mindset, everything has to be perfect and we win the game, in my opinion. So we'll see.
Let's just go around to wrap things up. Let's do predictions. Quick fire, no messing about. Go Shiggs first.
My heart says 2-1. My head says 1-1.
1-1. Would you take a 1-1?
I would.
You would. Cool. Mo?
I'm saying 2-0. I don't think we can see it in the first leg. I don't think we can see
Okay.
Everything I said, I don't think we can see.
Just a quick question. Is Benzema and Vinicius out? Are they fit?
I think they're both fit. I think Benzema slightly, but I think they're both fit.
The doubts that they have, from what I've seen, is Tchouaméni and Cruz. But again, we've seen this all before. We've heard people
mind
out
games.
And then exactly. It comes to Tuesday morning.
Yeah, I'm going to say 2-1.
I'm going to say 2-1. I actually had 2-0, same as Mo in my head. If the King of Chaos is playing, mate, we're gonna win. It's as simple as that. But
now we're naming him now.
The King of Chaos, mate. But I don't know if he will. I think I don't think it's. I have to say, I don't think it's mind games with Nunes. He did go down. Holding yeah, he went, yeah. Shoulder.
As soon as he yeah. went down, I was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't think that is mind games. I do genuinely believe that we won't have him. So I'm going to go Diogo and Mo Salah 2-0. We go to Madrid, and the new Xabi Alonso will be like Xabi Alonso at the Bernabeu, and we'll win and we'll go through to the what will that be? Quarter final. So yeah, that's what's going to happen. I don't know where this confidence has come from. This is mad, but we're going to run with it. Why not?
Happens, and the same confidence you're feeling are the same confidence the players are going to be feeling. Off the back
exactly. And listen, Mo, I was saying this earlier on a space, right? Because people were talking about it and then getting really happy, and then someone comes in and goes, just relax. It's just, like, come on, mate. We've been starved all season. Let us be happy. Let us get a bit excited. You know what I mean? Like,
as fans,
to be excited this season.
As fans, like, there's no need for us to be pessimistic. We don't have to be difficult and say, oh, you know, da, 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 da. We should
it's
be optimistic.
Hope, though, bro.
Yes, no, of course. Yes, we have to be level-headed. Yes, we have to be rational. Yes, we shouldn't say anything absurd. We shouldn't be, oh, we're gonna storm and win the. We're only 11 points behind Arsenal. We can still have a chance in the Premier League. We shouldn't be like that, of course, but we should be optimistic within our own means. And exactly. And
when
saying
something's still in our own hands as well, like, you know,
all
mean?
Things considered, in a situation we're in, we can definitely be emerging. And that's not me being optimistic. That's me being rational. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see, guys, and we'll be here after the game at some point to discuss it. And let's just hope that we will get the win to go to the Bernabeu. And also, guys, if you smash a like on this video, Loris Karius will win man of the match, and Newcastle
come on, Loris,
on Sunday. So, thank you for watching. If you made it to this point, appreciate
Take
it, guys,
care,
and we'll see you next time.
Yeah.